you probably came to a point where you might have told your mom or your dad, why do I have to grow up? Can I stay like this? You know, there's a toy company that says, I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid, amen? You know, some of us don't want to grow up. It was a simpler time, wasn't it? It was a simpler time when we didn't have responsibilities. It was a simpler time when all we had to do was play. But folks, that doesn't work in the church. We get born again and we become spiritual babes, but we need to grow up. Because the church is depending on us to grow spiritually. And so my message tonight, as you take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4, is why grow up? Why grow up? And we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 15. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. 11 through 16. And in our passage tonight, and it says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, who is he giving some of these to? He's giving some of these to the church. So Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. No one's left behind. No one's left out. God wants us all to grow up and have the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more what? Children. Now, we are still the children of God, but we're not supposed to act like kids. We're supposed to act as mature people. Okay? Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitted jointly together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the what? Effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. See, God has a team. God has a team assigned to bring us to maturity. We see this list here. We see apostles and prophets helping us to be brought to maturity through their writings. We're seeing evangelists that come through and give us the value of soul winning. We see pastors and teachers listed here to keep believers strong in the faith and in true doctrine and not to be swayed by false doctrine. See, all these have one thing in mind, is to perfect or to mature the saints. And I am so glad that we have this church.
Amen.
I'm so glad. I feel this church is functioning, but we could do better. We could do better. See, God's purpose is to build up the body of Christ. And that's in a local church, and it's also in the global body of Christ that we see. This word for build up is only found in the book of Ephesians. It's found here, chapter 4, and it's also found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21. It says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a what? A holy temple in the Lord. See, that's what to be perfect is to do, is that we're supposed to be holy. We're supposed to grow up in the full stature of Christ. So tonight we want to look at several things why do we need to grow up? Why do we need to grow up? The first point is found in verse 12. Who is to do the work of the ministries? You know, well, my animations aren't working, so that's okay. It doesn't matter, okay? The saints are the ones to do the ministry, okay? Saints are ones who have been born again. All believers must have a part in the ministry. All believers must have a part in the ministry. You know, there's a lot of things that you see and you might not think that they're worth it. But your appendix will tell you that it's hurting. And it has a function in the body. Every part of us, every one of us has a function in this body. It's all believers are to do the work of the ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 10, it says, "Now if Timothy has come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the what? Worketh the work of the Lord." This morning we talked about being best, and that God deserves our best. And whatsoever we do, do it what? Heartily unto the Lord. So see, the issue is, why do we come to church? We come to church to work, to learn, but we also come to church to minister one to another so we can all grow up together and serve God and to prove the work of the Lord, as also I do. So tonight, you need to ask yourself this question. Am I performing the work of the ministry? We are all called to do that. And we've been talking about the calling of God. What is the will of God? The will of God is to do the ministry. So am I doing ministry in the church? Unfortunately, there are churches that can reverse the divine plan. Basically, in those churches, it's pastors who do all the work of the ministry. People come in and they critique. And they critique the sermon. And they say, "Well, I agree with this and I don't agree with that." And they basically say, "You need to get better, pastor. You need to get better." See, congregations seek to perfect the pastor instead of the pastor helping to perfect the congregation. And it's backwards. And it's backwards. So we can reverse this divine plan if we don't follow God's will. See, too many Christians today are but paying spectators. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5 says, "But watch thou in what? All things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make what? Full proof of thy ministry." The second question tonight is to ask yourself this. The first one is, am I doing a ministry? The second one is this. Am I making proof that I am a minister? Do other people see that? Are other people affected by what I am doing? Or am I going the other way? See, what's the result of going the wrong way? First of all, church growth, along with individual growth, will be at a snail's pace. They won't understand the truth and will stay as children. Members will miss the blessing of ministry. See, we don't know how much we're missing by not doing. But I can tell you this, you're missing a lot. You're missing the rewards of ministry. And people, and if we're going backwards, members will miss the blessing of ministry. Okay? And see, when the body, we're all busy, aren't we? If we don't put our efforts into what we're supposed to be doing, we'll get busy doing something else that's not productive. Right. And the issue is that the church is supposed to, if they're not busy in the things that need to do, that we need to do, we become busy bodies. We become busy bodies. So the issue is we must get back to God's plan and all believers ministering. Well, I didn't go to Bible. You don't have to go to Bible college. Well, I've just been saved for... You just need to get involved. Everybody, I got a secret for you. When you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. Okay? All that you need. The issue is how much of the Holy Spirit you allow work in your life. The second thing is this. The moment you get saved, you get a spiritual gift. You get a spiritual gift. What are those lists of spiritual gifts? Well, you can find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You can find it in Romans chapter 12. You can find this. And it talks about all the pieces working together. There's the gift of hospitality. There's the gift of giving. There's a gift of faith. There's a gift of all these things. And we might go on a study on Wednesday night about the spiritual gifts and what they mean. But we all get this gift. If we don't use our gift, then we are incomplete personally, and the church is incomplete bodily. We all must do what we're supposed to do. It's one thing to just come and sit and hear the sermon. But the whole purpose of this is so we can put this into action. Or the church will not grow. I'm excited about what's happening around here.
Yes, amen.
There's things that are happening. But if we need, as we grow, we need more ministers. We need everybody to be more involved. And so, who is to do the work of the ministry? We are. Look in the mirror. We are all ministers of Christ. So who is to do the work of the ministry? Us. Question. Are we? And then how well are we doing it? How well are we doing it? Secondly, what is the work of the ministry? What is the work of the ministry? It says here, verse 12, it says, for the perfecting the saints, for the work of the ministry. See, the ministry is anything that builds up the body of Christ. It's just not preaching, and it's just not teaching. It's working in the nursery and wiping some kid's bottom. It's helping one another to feel part of the body. It's leading in worship. It's teaching a class. It's helping with facilities. It's helping with others that are feeling down. It's going out and bringing groceries into somebody. It's all part of this. The ministry is anything that builds up the body of Christ. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. Okay? It says, even so ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of what? Spiritual gifts. Seek that ye may excel to the what? Edifying of the church. See, not only do you get a spiritual gift when you get saved, you get the ability to choose how you use that. You can use it rightly, or you can use it wrongly. You can look for something that you don't have and try to force fit it in, and it won't work. Or you can allow what God's given us to flow through us, and then it will work in a mighty way. The problem here in 1 Corinthians 14 was everybody wanted to speak in tongues. And it was causing confusion. That's a big issue that I got in my math classes right now. And Angie's got in her Bible classes about tongues. What is it? It's a language. Well, what about it? I said, if you don't understand it, how can anybody else understand it? Who are you lifting up? You're lifting up yourself. And it does me no good. It does the church no good. And that's the whole purpose here. The issue about ministry, and the issue about being a minister, is to grow the church and to grow up. But I don't want to grow up. I want to stay like this. No, we can't do that. See, I'll give you examples of what the ministry is. The ministry is caring for the afflicted, comforting the sick, and sorrowing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, it says, wherefore, comfort yourselves to what?
Yep.
together. In Ephesians 4, we see that we're supposed to all work together. It's supposed to be a building fit together, a body fit together. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. And what? Edify one another, even as also ye do. Oh, by the way, you don't give up. You don't stop. You don't retire. You don't say, well, it's someone else's turn to do it. No, we don't do it that way. We work till Jesus comes. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at what? Peace among yourselves. You know, this issue with tongues in the Corinthian church, it caused a big division. Everybody wanted the show gifts. Everybody wanted to be seen. Everybody wanted the prestige. And it crushed that church. It allowed false things to get into the church. It almost destroyed it. Almost destroyed it. It says, be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren. Warn them that are what? Unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward... Now this is a tough one. All men. If you be patient towards all men, then you're ministering. Then you're ministering. So the ministering is caring for the afflicted, comforting the sick and the sorrowing. Secondly, it is visiting the fatherless and widows. In James chapter 1, verse 27, it says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You know why we have a church directory? So we can talk to each other. So we can exhort one another. Not so who we can see. Well, that person's that person. I can keep a tally on everybody that's here. It's to help. It's to be a help. It's to be an encouragement. Okay? To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world. You know what happens? This work needs to get done. I mean, it doesn't get done by somebody. It gets kicked up. This was the problem in the early church. In the church at Jerusalem, in Acts chapter 6, verse 1, it says, and in those days when the number of disciples were what? Multiplied. So the church is growing. Church is growing. It says, there arose a murmuring of the Cretans against the Hebrews because their what? Widows were neglected in the daily ministration or the daily ministry. See, if we don't do what we're supposed to do, we see a need and we leave that need unmet. It causes dissension. It causes bitterness. It causes confusion. It causes the church to slow down in growth and get hindered. It doesn't build up. It tears down. And so, visiting the fatherless and the widows. Ministry is caring for the physical needs of believers. You know, John says this. He says, if you see a brother or sister in need, and you have the stuff, and you shut up your bowels of compassion, how does the love of God work in your life? See, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and He came to earth, and He did all this for us, asking just for us to believe in Him. And see, what we need to do is we need to look out for opportunities. In Galatians chapter 6, it says, as ye therefore have what? Opportunity, do good to all men, especially those of the what? Household of faith. And so Paul saw this need of distributing the necessity of the saints. In Romans chapter 12, verse 13, he says this, distributing the necessity of the saints, giving to hospitality. That's one of the chapters on spiritual gifts. Right there. In Romans 15, verses 25 through 26, he went to church after church after church in Macedonia and Greece, and he was taking a collection up. He was taking a collection up for the poor church in Jerusalem, because when they joined the church in Jerusalem, they were excommunicated from all their families. And they had no way. They couldn't get jobs. They couldn't get work. They didn't have food. And Paul saw that. And he says, but now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. Here's the point about ministry. First of all, you need to realize that you are one. The second thing is you have to understand what you're supposed to do, and then you're supposed to go and do it. And oh, by the way, it's going to take a long time. And oh, by the way, it's going to take some effort. And oh, by the way, it's going to help somebody out. It's going to help somebody out. For it pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. So the ministry is caring for the afflicted. The ministry is dealing with the physical needs of others. The ministry is anything that builds up the body of Christ and the church. The ministry is caring for the spiritual needs of other believers. Ministering to those overtaken by a fault. Galatians chapter 6 verse 1 says this, brethren, if a man, now he's talking to brethren, who's he talking to? The church. He's talking to us. If a man be overtaken in a fault, where? Inside the church. Inside the body. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the what? Spirit of meekness. Wait a second. This morning, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am what? Meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest to your souls. There is no room for pride in the church. There is no room for thinking you're better than somebody else in the church. There's no room for in the church for someone who says, well, I won't do that. Someone else can do it. There's no room for that. There's no room for that. We need to be ministered to those overtaken. He says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Oh, folks, we need to be sure that we don't do what that Pharisee did on the corner when he was praying to God. He says, I thank God that I'm not like this guy over here who's a rotten sinner. Folks, we need to restore people. Because if people aren't restored, the church isn't restored. And if the church isn't restored, then the church is not effective. And so ministry is caring for the spiritual needs of other believers. Ministering to those overtaken in a fault. Ministry is encouraging one another. I want to call some of you out tonight. People come to me and say, where is this person? As if I'm supposed to have all the answers. I'll tell you the answer too. Because I've been checking up on people. You know, you see someone missing in church? It's all our responsibility to go and see them. Call them, contact them, and do that. There's a reason for that. We're supposed to help one another. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25 says this, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but what? Exhorting what?
One another,
and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I am encouraged that people contact other people. But if someone's missing and God burdens your heart to find out that they're missing, take care of it. Take care of it. You don't know what it means to have another church member contact somebody else. It's not just about a certain group in the church. We all need to do it. So, ministry is caring for the spiritual needs. Someone's overtaken in fault, we help. Ministering is encouraging one another. Ministering is evangelizing. that evangelizing thing was just left to the apostles, right? The ones that Christ called out. Well, that's not what happened. You know, this issue about ministry caused the selection of deacons in the church. And I think we're getting to the point that we might consider having deacons, okay? But the issue is this. Those deacons went out and did the ministry. And here's what happened. There was a guy by the name of Philip. Philip was not an apostle. He was a deacon. He was just a lay guy in the group. And when they said, let's help this issue with these widows, they selected him. They selected him. People like that were faithful. People who were working with Christ. People who had been proven. It says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and what? Preached Christ unto them. And look at what happens when you preach Christ. Okay? Well, I'm an exorcist. No, you just need to be a spreader of the gospel. All that other stuff takes care of itself. Look at what happens here. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. But what was Philip doing? He was just preaching the gospel. And the gospel was changing lives. But if the gospel's never preached, it'll never change lives. Folks, evangelizing is ministry. It's ministry. And there was what? Great joy in the city. So what is the work of the ministry? Glorifying God. Edifying. Helping those that are afflicted. Helping those who have needs. Getting everybody on the same page spiritually. So we can all be together. So we can all do what? Till we all come in what? Unity of the faith. What happens when we all do the work of the ministry? Well, in verse 11, it talks about some of the spiritual gifts. Verse 12, it talks about what it's for maturing us, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then there are six things that happens because of this. First of all, the church is unified. It says, till we all come in the what?
Unity.
Of the what?
Faith.
So we are all one in agreement of the common faith, and that's the gospel. So the first thing is, the church is unified. The second thing is, it says, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a what? Perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The second thing is, believers become Christ-like. Believers become Christ-like. So the first thing is the church is unified. The second thing is believers become Christ-like. In verse 14, the first part of it, we see that Christians become solid in faith and doctrine. It says that we what? Henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. If you go and you look in Revelation chapter 2, there was the church at Thyatira. The church at Thyatira had one big problem. They allowed a prophetess by the name of Jezebel to come in and tear the church away from the truth. That's what happens when we're not all working together. That's what happens when we're not ministering together. That stuff can be allowed to come in. And so the fourth thing is, the church is protected from false teaching. Because see, it might be your spiritual gift to identify error. We all need to look and understand what truth and error is. But there are some that are gifted that see. My wife is like that. She'll tell you in a heartbeat what's right and what's wrong. And I need that. And I need that. But the issue is it says here, it says, by the what? Sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The church is protected from false teaching. In verse 15 here, the love flows through all the preaching and teaching. It says, but speaking the truth in love may what? Grow up. Okay? Into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Why grow up? So we can be like this. Why grow up? So we can be like this. And in verse 16, we see the last thing is that the church grows and is known for fellowship and love. Christ himself said, hereby let all men know that you are my disciples when you have what? Love for one another. Okay? Paul keeps on calling people and says, but you bite and devour one another. Or James did that. Okay? These things aren't not to be. See, out of the same mouth can't come blessings and cursings. It says here, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase the body unto the what? Edifying of itself in what? Love. In love. So who is supposed to get involved in ministry? All of us. Okay? What is the work of the ministry? Things that make people grow and the church grow. Notice that there's nothing about you in there. It's about others. And what's the third thing? The third thing is that the church is unified. Believers become Christ-like. We become solid in faith and doctrine. We're protected from false teaching. Love flows through us. And we're known for fellowship and love. So tonight, let's follow God's plan for the church. Hopefully, you've been encouraged tonight to do something. We've been praying for people to minister. Christ said, look unto the fields. They are what? White unto harvest. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he sends forth what? Laborers into his harvest. Folks, we're called to work. So let's labor for him. And you won't be disappointed. And you won't be defeated. And we'll glorify God. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask for this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts, Lord, and help us to be the ministers that you want us to be. Father, if someone here does not know you as Savior, Lord, tonight I pray that this would be the night of their salvation, that they would realize that you died on the cross for their sins. They would ask for forgiveness of sins. They would ask for the gift of eternal life through your resurrection. Father, help us, Lord, tonight to listen to you and not to ourselves. Help us, Lord, to look to you and your word as the model and not some other organization. Lord, help us, Lord, to stand firm on your Bible and on your word, Lord, and not on anything else. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The gospel preaching.